Today's scripture is taken from Mark, the first chapter, verses 9 through 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is a season of prayer, fasting, and self-examination. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus encourages us to engage in the classic Lenten discipline of repentance. This morning, I want to reflect with you on what repentance is, what we need to repent of, and how we might practice repentance in our everyday lives. When Jesus calls us to repent, he's asking us to apologize for all of the things we do that separate us from God. What you or I need to repent of might look a little bit different. Some may need to repent of their people-pleasing tendencies. Others may need to repent of an addiction to shopping or online arguing. Others may need to get their finances in order. The key here is to identify the things, people, or problems in your life that are distracting you from following Jesus, and to take one small step towards clearing them away. As we continue in our Christian faith, all of us will face distractions. Even Jesus faced distractions, except he called them temptations. These temptations occurred during his 40 days in the wilderness. Now you may be wondering, why on earth does Jesus need to be tested? I think it's helpful here to remember that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. As God, he is able to live without sin. But if he doesn't experience temptation, he will miss out on what it means to be fully human. Jesus goes into the wilderness to battle evil forces, determined to counteract God's intention for human well-being. Mark calls these forces Satan. We often call these forces the devil. When we speak of the devil, we're talking about all the evil forces that exist in the world that wreak havoc on human flourishing. Now, some of these forces are our own fault. They're the result of human ignorance. When we act without appreciating how our behavior affects others. But a lot of these forces are actually outside of our control and exist despite our best efforts to subdue them. I think the global pandemic that we're currently living through is a good example of an evil force that exists despite our best efforts to control it. Sure, we as individuals could make better choices to keep ourselves and our communities safe. But by this point in the pandemic, we know that individual choices aren't going to contain it alone. And I think this pandemic has also laid bare those forces that operate that we aren't often paying attention to. Evil forces like corrupt state governments that prioritize profit over human lives. Just look at the millions of people in Texas without power or water in the midst of a brutal winter. Evil forces like unequal access to healthcare in America, where 11 months into a global pandemic, I know that Americans are still struggling to get tested for COVID. We see that this virus has disproportionately ravaged communities of color, nursing homes, and people who live in multi-generational housing. And don't even get me started on the dumpster fire that is trying to schedule a vaccine appointment in Allegheny County right now. When we say that Jesus went into the wilderness to pray for 40 days, a global pandemic is exactly the type of evil force that he went to pray and repent of. And this kind of got me thinking, what type of evil force is Jesus inviting me to pray and repent of this Lent? I'm not going to lie, when I had COVID over Christmas, it really laid bare for me my need to be in control all the time. See, I got COVID despite having done everything right. I tried to work from home as much as I could. I wasn't going to parties or having a bunch of random people over at my house. I always wore my mask when I left my house. I got my flu shot. And despite having done all of this, I still got COVID. When I found out that I had tested positive for COVID, I was livid. Seriously, God, really? But as I spent my 10 days at home, I realized maybe it wasn't God that I was angry at. Maybe it was me. And maybe when I say it was my need to be in control all the time. Of my thinking that if I just follow all the rules, things are going to work out the way that I want them to. But friends, that's not what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian means giving God control over my life and future. When after those 40 days, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus is inviting us to sit with tension. The tension between creation as we know that God intends it to be and creation as we currently experience it. Where corporations put profit over human flourishing. Where our bodies break down and fall ill. It was really interesting as I was rereading over this passage, I found that Jesus never promised when he left the wilderness that nothing bad was going to happen to human beings again. But having experienced the wilderness, Jesus did promise to walk alongside us when we are going through wilderness experiences of our own. When Jesus tells us to repent, he tells us to do that because it's the only way that we can sit with tension. Repentance allows us to say, hey, I acknowledge the part that I played in this mess. And even though this mess is not my problem alone, I need to apologize for my role in it. So, for example, apologizing for the times that I ran to the store with either a dirty mask or a mask that was half on my face because I was just running in for milk and eggs. This didn't feel like a big deal at the time, but it's just one example of me not caring how my behavior affects others. Now, anytime I preach a sermon on repentance, I'm worried that people are going to leave here angry with me. Gee, well, the pastor reminded me what a terrible person I am and all this stuff that I gotta fix. Guess I should give up sweets and cursing and Facebook for Lent. Friends, in a year when we've been asked to give up so much, I want to encourage you to pick a Lenten practice that allows you to take something on. So for me, and this is just an example, instead of sitting at home complaining about the fact that I'm not yet eligible to get vaccinated, I decided to start the process to donate COVID plasma, something that I'm not going to be able to do once I'm vaccinated. I hope that this will, once I donate, it will allow somebody to have a slightly less miserable experience with COVID. Friends, the reason that I'm encouraging us to take something on instead of give something up this Lent is because I believe that real change in our values and behavior only happens when we do it out of love. So we don't give up sweets because we want to lose weight. We give up sweets because we recognize how this is making it harder for us to do other things that we need to do or that we enjoy doing. Or, for example, I'm donating plasma because I want to show gratitude to God that my illness was mild. And I hope, maybe, that my donating this will make somebody else's experience a little less severe. All this is to say is that I really encourage you to pick a Lenten discipline to follow this year. Whether it's more time in prayer, whether it's fasting from something you particularly enjoy, or maybe it's being a friend in a more thoughtful and organized way. I say this every year, and I will say it again this year. The point of a Lenten discipline is not to make everyone around you miserable. I say this as a person who gave up coffee 1 year for Lent, and all I succeeded in doing was making everyone around me miserable. I don't think the experience brought me particularly closer to God. The point of a Lenten discipline is to draw us into the Father's love. A love that began thousands of years ago with God's chosen but messy people, the Israelites. A love that forever altered the course of human history in a man named Jesus. A love that is actively at work in the world today through the embodied love of Jesus's disciples. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.